Hills of Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchez. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, we thank you that you're the source of our strength, the strength of our life. Whom shall we fear? Father, we thank you, God, for just the fullness of your grace. Your grace being sufficient, enough to complete me, enough to save me, enough to deem me righteous. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your truth that endure to all generations. We thank you, Lord. Father, we ask that you would just wash us, cleanse us all unrighteousness and sin and thought, shame, anything, God, that is not like you, God, that we may worship you in the beauty of holiness. With the cleanness of our hands, we may lift them to you, Almighty God, because there's none like you, none like you. And we love you, Lord. Thank you for the power of your name. For at your name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that you're Lord. At your name, demons fear and tremble. At your name, dear God, blinded eyes are open. Deaf ears are able to hear. Bodies are healed. Souls are saved. Spirits are ignited and illuminated with the word. We thank you, God. Father, we ask that you give me clarity of thought, precision of speech. Speak to your people today. Lord, by your ready hand, do whatever you want to do in this place to whoever it is you want to do it to. But Lord, all we ask is while you're doing it, do it in us and do it with us. Father, that's all we ask. If you're healing and delivering and blessing in this season, don't do it without us. Don't do it without me, Jesus. And I just want to give you thanks and praise now. Have your way, dear Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, just give God a great big thank you. However you want to thank him. However you want to thank him. Thank you, Lord. We glorify your name and we praise you. Awesome God. Amen. Well, thank the man. Amen. I want to use for this title, topic called the tag to this message. Just look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, be confident. Amen. That's what we need in this day. We need to be confident. Amen.
For the reward of him. Because I can't get past what I can't have. And so now I'm not thankful to God because I done took for granted the reward of him being in my life. If he's in your life, listen, he's going to change up some things and fix it. The Bible says this, and I'm going to get to the finish, but the Bible says this. He says that when there's a demonic force, a demonic spirit in a person, the spirit of God, when a strong man is bound, cast out, the spirit of God comes in, and he garnishes the house. What he's saying is, when he says that, that means he decorates. He adds some stuff in the house, amen, that wasn't there before. He starts to fill the house with things that are like unto his kind, what he likes. And so that's why when we're in between, when we're just getting out, when the spirit that we used to have, that lying spirit, that demonic spirit, that wrong spirit, when it leaves, we're in between, that's why our desires start to change. What you start to want start to change. How you want it start to change. When you want it start to change. Because the Holy Spirit starts putting the right things in your life. And as he began to do that, now, the thing about the Holy Spirit is that he's going to make himself at home in your life. And if he and if those things are distracting you from being able to worship God, then either he's going to move some things or he's going to bring some things so you'll quit worrying about it. And so you ain't got to go through the laws of attraction to get this stuff. So many people think they got to go through the laws of attraction. I got to focus on it. I got to attract it to me. What I think about, I bring to me. No, what the Holy Spirit wants you to have, he gives it to you. And I understand that because it's some things, you got to understand this. It's some things that you never even thought you would have today. God, he gave you anyway. I wish I had somebody in here. It's some things that you didn't even think. Open your mouth, part your lips to pray for, and God saw fit for you to have it, and he allowed you to experience it because he's just that good. And so he'll supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Do I have a witness in here? Verse 36, I'm trying to get finished. He says, For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So after I've prioritized for the promise, I need to have principles in order. Principles in my life. What's the principal thing for you? You know, is it that you get some food? Because I know you're hungry right now. It's getting close to that time. What's the principal thing for you? Is it money? But when I look at principles, I look at the principal things for my life is faith and patience. And according to the text, when we read it, the next verse said, now the just shall live by. So that's the principle we need to have. We need to understand that we have to live by faith. We cannot live by doubt. We can't live by fear. And too many of us live in fear right now. When you have confidence, there is no fear. The text or the topic that we chose today was to be confident. And so if you live in fear, you can't have fear and confidence at the same time. You ever talk to somebody and they seem very fearful? You say, man, something wrong. So that means if you got fear, then something is what? Wrong. And so we shouldn't have fear. We shouldn't have doubt. We should have confidence that God wants us to be blessed. He has thoughts of us that He has thoughts of us that brings us to an expected end. In other words, it ain't no surprise what he got in store. He said that I'm going to make sure that you make it because the end of it ain't on you. It's on me preaching here. He knows the end at the beginning. While we worried about how it's going to work out, we got to understand that God already fixed it. Amen. When you're in a fight and in a battle, you need to know that God fixed the battle so that you could win and you can get something from the battle. Do I have a witness here? Oh, yeah. And so we need to understand that God intends for you to have greater. He intends for you to grow further and go further. Amen. And so he says that we need to first, he says, after a little while, he says, no, verse 36, for you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. One thing that we don't have, that's another principle, is to make sure we have patience. We don't have patience because I want it now. God, right, and even when we pray, now, Lord. Right now, Lord. Even now, Lord. We want God to do it right now. But God said everything, the word of God said to everything that is a season. And to every season, everything in every season has a time and a what? Purpose. But what we don't understand is that since everything has a season, we still need to wait on the time. And then since everything has a time, we still need to know the purpose. But we don't understand the purpose, so we don't know when the time is, and so we don't even recognize the season that God put in our life. Every man, did you know every man have seasons in his life? Every man, woman, whatever, every human being have seasons in your life, and you need to recognize your season. There are seasons when you have a spring where everything seems to spring up and you're doing well. Then you have the summertime when you're enjoying what you've got in the spring, but it seems like it's starting to burn out. Then you have the time in your life where it's winter and it seems like ain't nothing growing, but you make sure that you do right in your spring and your summer so that you can survive the winter. I wish I had somebody here. We have seasons in our life, but when we get our spring, we splurge. And we forget what we're supposed to do in life. I don't know how I got here, but I'm trying to help somebody. We forget that winter is coming. We forget that things are going to happen. We forget that there may be a time where there's a shortage. And then we look for something. The Bible says, listen to what the Bible says, that the sluggard begged during the harvest. Why? Because he didn't plant that. He ate all his seed. Oh.
I'm blessed. Any day now, he's delivered. Any day now, he's setting free. Any day now, things are going to happen the way God wants them to happen. After you've done the will of God. Now, this is the thing. He has only talked about trouble, affliction, oppression. Now, I want you to understand that he's telling them that after you've been through some trials, tribulation, all this suffering, it could possibly be the will of God. I know you didn't want to hear that. They lied on you, but it's the will. Because they needed to talk about you so that people would see when you change that you ain't what you used to be. Yes, Lord. They needed to look at you and say, they ain't got nothing. They always got their hand out. So now when you open your hand and give them something, they need to know that it was the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Do I have a witness in here? That's why you go through, you've been afflicted. You've been spoiled. I don't have anything left. But when God begin to open up the windows and pour me out a blessing that I don't have room enough to receive, when God starts to do that for me, then you'll see that I'm going to start giving stuff away because I need to make more room. And then you'll see that even though I was spoiled, the Lord looked on me and he shined on me. He smiled on me and he blessed my life. Do I have a witness in the house? We need to understand that if I just wait on the Lord, I know he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And just because you want him right now to do it don't mean that he has to do it right now, because to everything is a time, season, and a purpose. And so let this affliction that you go through serve his purpose. Let this hard time you go through serve his purpose, because I guarantee if you broke right now, you don't ever want to be there again. So let that feeling sink in and say, you know, I ain't gonna never be broke. I'ma sow seeds when I'm supposed to. I'ma bless folks when I need to. And you know what? I know the Lord said that if I lend or give to the poor, I lend it to God. Do I have a witness? Oh yeah, the way you feel brokenhearted right now, I ain't never going back that way again. Why? Because I know the Lord will keep me. Come on and say amen. The Lord ain't gonna let me be a fool again. Come on and say amen here, because I'ma keep my eyes on his face. I'ma seek him, and while I'm seeking him, he'll protect me from all the ravenous wolves that come my way. Do I have a witness in this house? We need to understand that we got to live by faith. And he said, no man draw back. In other words, the word draw means to shrink. In other words, we've grown out of this. And God says, since you've grown out, don't shrink back up and don't shrivel up to what you used to be. You're half the person you used to be. Oh, come on and say, man, don't be that. But he said, keep on growing. I've grown to this place, and I ain't going back to that. I'm not going to be what they thought I was. I'm not going to shrink down to here. And God has made me this big. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, come on and give God some glory. He said, and my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's what he said. He said, I want to get pleasure out of your life. And sometime in suffering, it gives God pleasure to see us suffer, because we still yet holding on. It ain't nothing like when you whip your child or punish them, and the next thing they do, come crawl up under you and say, it's all right. I know I needed that whooping. I wish I had somebody. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? And so sometimes God will spank us. God will take us through some stuff, but I'll still go crawl up in his lap and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. I appreciate what you took me through, because if it hadn't been for you teaching me that, I'd make a fool of myself and I'd keep on doing the same stuff. I wish I had a few people in the house today. We have to understand. He said, my soul will have no pleasure. He said, don't be as though the drawback to perdition. He said, but believe to the saving of the soul. What we got to understand is that if God get pleasure out of sometime when we suffer, how I know? I know because Jesus is our greatest example. He's our greatest example of suffering. And when he went up to Calvary's hill and suffered for your sake and my sake, the Bible said, Isaiah told us, it pleased the Lord to smite him. It pleased the Lord to afflict him. It pleased the Lord for him to have to go through the trial that he went through. Come on and say amen here. It pleased the Lord for him to have to deal with what he dealt with. And so he died on the cross in his suffering. And it still pleased God. Your cross pleases him. That's why
Christ said, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow. We have to follow him. And we're going to go through some suffering. Now, let me tell you something about your cross. You can't crucify yourself. God bring people to your life. Y'all didn't want to hear that, I know. Ooh, he bring people to your life to crucify you. You won't ever get to the place of being arrested like Jesus was until a friend comes and betray you with a kiss. It was an intimate moment, but my friend betrayed me. I wish I had somebody here. And sometime in that, while you're about to go through, you may want people to pray with you, but ain't nobody praying. They all sleep. That's part of the suffering process. Ain't nobody with you. You got to die on this cross by yourself. And yet, while you're suffering on the cross, Jesus is our example. There's somebody taunting you, and they're in the same shape you in. If you be who you say you are, come down, save us. Save yourself. Taunting you the whole time you're hanging on the cross. But you keep your tongue. Don't say a word. You say, Father, forgive them. I'm suffering, but Lord, what they, look at this, what they did to me got me in this situation, but I forgive them. They're still looking on me and laughing at me, shaking their head at me. They're looking at my shame, and it's their fault, but Lord, forgive them. Ooh. Can we ever get to that point? Lord, forgive them, even though they the one put me here. They put the nails in my hand. Oh, they put something on my mind, and what's on my mind pricks my mind. Thorn. Crown of thorns. It pricks me. It hurts me. They beat me to the point that I just didn't have no life left in me. And the cross you gave me, God, I couldn't even carry it. I fell, and another had to carry. My burden got heavy from what they did, but I'm still saying, Lord, forgive them. Listen, the centurion soldier was the one who oversaw and ensured that he was crucified. But after it was said and done, because he handled himself the proper way on the cross, the centurion could look up and say, surely, what would people say about you? Why you hang on the cross? Why you go through your affliction? Why you suffer? What can they say about you? Will they say, surely? I'm hoping they can say, surely. Surely because I forgave you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Surely because I spoke to the Father. Surely because I didn't rail accusations at you because you did something to me. Surely he's the Son of God. Then he looked up, he gave up the ghost. He said, Father, into my hand. See, some of us can't pray while we suffer. We can't talk to the Lord while we go through. We can talk to everybody else, but we can't talk to the Lord. And you know, the enemy will come to our minds to keep our minds off of talking to the Lord. Oh, yeah, he'll keep your mind on word about the situation. But Jesus said, I ain't going to talk about the nails that's hurting. I'm not talking about the thorn that's hurting. I'm not going to even talk about how bad they beat me and plucked out my beard and just treated me bad, spit on me. They took my clothes from me. I was spoiled. But I just say, Father, into thy hand, I commend my spirit. He gave up the ghost. But the blessing of all of that is that he had a more enduring substance. His enduring substance let him go to the grave 3 days and 3 nights. But early Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hand. Oh, my God, today. Verse 39, and I'm through. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, like Judas. We're not those that turn on God. See, sometimes our affliction make us turn. Turn coat. Become a double. about the benefits of God, but we also want to do what we need to do. But he says, of them that believe to the saving of the soul. But to them that believe, saving of the soul. What is my soul? My soul. My soul is what needs to be saved. Right? My soul is my mind, my will, my emotion. I need all of that to be under control. I need all of that to be encapsulated in Christ. Because that's how I'm saved. Because of my soul. When my mind is on him, he said he'll keep me in perfect peace. Hallelujah. Paul said, I serve the Lord with my mind. Amen. So what we actually think is what we begin to believe. So what are you thinking today? What are you thinking? I'm thinking that if I go through and I keep the faith and I keep my principles right and I have patience with God, that I will obtain the promise. The promise is that you have eternal life. The promise is that everything that goes with eternal life belongs to you. Everything. You have an unlimited resource in whatever God has in store for you. The scripture said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of men the things that God has in store for them that love him. But I reveal it by my spirit. When somebody say they seen what you got there, you ain't seen it all. You say you saw it, but you ain't seen it. It's more, it's greater than that. I dare you the next time somebody tell you that what I see for you, oh, it's greater than that. It's greater because I believe. The word believe, this means to trust. I trust that God will. I don't have no fear. I trust that God will work this out. I don't know when, but I know he will. Be confident. Tell somebody, I'm confident. I'm confident in what God is doing in my life. I'm confident of what God is going to do in my life. I'm confident. I'm confident. I'm confident. I think the message was good for me so that I can keep my confidence not in man, but I keep it in God. Oh yeah, I love you all. I trust you. I believe that God has put you all in my life, but I don't put all my confidence there. I trust them. I rest on what he said. Resting is like taking a chair, right? All of you, you're resting on the pews. When you sat down, you didn't think that pew was going to fall or break, did you? You sat down knowing that it could hold you. And that's what we got to do with God. We got to trust that he can take care of this, that he can hold us when we need him to, that he can deliver us when it's time to. Amen? But the just shall live by faith. I got to live by faith. I can't keep living by doubt and fear. So many people are religious to the point of fear. So much religion breeds fear. That's why when you have a relationship, you don't have no fear. That's why when you're in a relationship, husband, wife, they don't have to put their money in the bank. They don't have no fear that one of them will run off with it. Ain't that right, Brother Martin? Amen. No fear, because we trust what? One another. But we operate religiously, teaches us sometimes to operate in fear. Don't do that because this is going to happen. I remember when we was children, I used to get punched all the time. Because we walked through a trail and I wouldn't go around the tree like they would. I'd go the other way. Boom, go back around, you're going to split up with that. I'm like, black cat run out in front of me. Oh, stop. Cat better watch it. He said, I'm going to see if you got 9 life. Or I'm going to send you to eternal life. You know, we're so, we bring superstition and religion, and it has no place because I'm free from that. I'm liberated from that. We put so many rules on people. Don't do this. Don't do that. Can't have that. Can't. But tell me what I can do. Because even in the garden, it was only one can't. Say, don't, you can't eat from this tree. Say, now, any of the other ones. We got all these options. But we always focusing on what we can't or shouldn't do. Fear. God doesn't want us to serve him for fear. He wants us to serve him in faith. Trust and love him. Obey him. So today, this altar's open to whosoever will. I know that you were intending for a good holler, but I want you to get the word. I want you to hold up your head. I want you to lift up your head until the hills of what's coming to your help, for your help comes from the Lord. Be confident. Be confident of who he is. Be confident of who you are. Be confident of who you are. Because if you're confident of who you are, then you'll be able to show it in the earth, and people will want to become what you are and know who you know. Confidence. Ain't nothing like a person with confidence. When you see them walk in the room, you know, you ask, who is that? Because they have confidence. They may just be Joe down the street, but he walked in with confidence. When you go on a job interview, they know when you ain't got confidence. When you come in with confidence and sell yourself, they say, they make it harder decision for them to choose and overlook you because you have confidence. We have this confidence that we go boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. The word boldly is the same word for confidence. Do you know that the Bible says that the book of Acts, that the second time the apostles prayed, they prayed and it said they got boldness. That's what it says. They got boldness to preach the word. Boldness, again, it means confidence. Why did they need that confidence? Because they were being persecuted. Because they were being beaten. They were being put in jail. They were being slaughtered. They were being taken and thrown to lions and animals. Wild animals used as entertainment for the Romans. But they needed confidence that no matter what I go through, Polycarp, remember him when I told you about him before? He had confidence in God. And he was 86 years old when he was martyred. They took him and they built a fire and they were going to burn him. And he said, you know, you ain't got to tie my hands. I'm going to hold the pole. He said, because the one who I served these 86 years, he said, he ain't failed me yet. And he took hold of the pole. And they burned him and set him on fire. And then out of the ashes, when they looked in the fire, after he had been burned to a crisp, his hands were still holding. He was yet holding on. Because he had confidence in the faith. He had confidence that his reward was coming. He had confidence that God would do what he said. And that he didn't die at the stake.